You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Richter. Alongside me, it's Joe Giannaccaro. It's Matt Cannon. Guys, welcome back to the show for yet another episode. And we got some more great Lightning hockey to talk about. What a roll the Bolts have been on. What is it now? Seven of their last eight games that they have been victorious in. It's been a really, really fun week for the Bolts. A lot of fun things to get to. Welcome everybody in who's tuned in with us live here for the show. Can't wait to hear what you all have to say. But first and foremost, before we get into everything, guys, how you doing today?
Doing really well. You know, with this winter that we have coming, we have this deep freeze. You know, the first number for our temperature started with a 5, which means, you know, break out your sweatshirts, your hoodies. I got my beanie on, which... Toque beanie conversation, is that something that we have to have here as a Floridian?
Do you have any? I always thought toque was Canadian. I've always known it as a beanie. So
always known it as a beanie myself. But I mean, this is probably the one
There's
of like
name
four.
For it?
yeah, Canadians call them toques.
Mm-hmm. So this is probably wrong. Like one of 4 days that will be available all year to actually put on something warm. So you know, do it while you can rock the swag.
Joe, you are a true Florida man right there. The temperature starts with a 5, and you've got the hoodie and the beanie out. I mean, you're no better than me. I was frozen today, too. But
jackets are fair game if it starts with a 6 as well.
Yeah, that's fair. But the beanie, I'm not saying it's excessive. I'm just saying you're showing your true colors as a Florida man right there.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to figure out if there'll ever be a day again that's that cold on a Monday, right? So, like, the likelihood of it being that cold and it being a Monday where we're doing the podcast, I figured... You know, in the years that we've been doing this, I don't think you've ever seen this beanie before. It hasn't worked out.
I love it, by the way. The old logo, old school, looks great. But I'm right there with you. Listen, it gets in the 70s and I start getting cold. You want to talk about being a true Florida boy, okay? So I understand it.
It's cold outside, but at least we got a hot team to talk about.
Oh, that was good, Matt. That was good. All right, let's get into it because the Bolts have been a very hot team, continuing to win, just play great hockey overall. Although we do have to talk about one loss for the Bolts, and that was unfortunately to the Colorado Avalanche, where the Bolts lost by a final score of 2-3. But you know what, guys? I can't believe I'm saying this. You know, this is a loss that doesn't hurt me that much because I thought – you know, this was a tough game, and I don't want to make excuses by any means, but they're on a road trip in Colorado. They've been winning a lot of hot, good games, and they're playing the top team in the NHL at the time. I believe they still might be, if I'm not mistaken. They are. Okay, thank you, Matt. But they're playing a really good hockey team, and they only lost this game by one goal and really just one bad period or a bad stretch of a couple minutes, to really be honest with you. So, you know, it's a game they played good, didn't play perfect, and they end up taking the loss, but they had bounced back later. So, you know, these things are going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it's staying up late is one of those challenging things when, you know, it's get those West Coast road trips. But this was such a close game. It made it a lot easier to get through it all with the unfortunate finish. But, you know, the Lightning did bounce back quite a bit in it. Like you said, there's like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of play that unfortunately the Avalanche just ended up capitalizing on. And I thought it was, you know, I kind of stated a few things as possible reasons or like a scapegoat sort of argument as to why we could lose this game. And it almost seems like that's exactly what happened with, you know, kind of not having coming up or not starting amazingly well in the game and then having like a lull in the second period there. But I mean, man, they really made it close to being a really successful road trip, just one goal away.
I thought they started the game very well the first 10 minutes of the game, but they took back-to-back penalties, which really did shed a lot of the momentum, and they just really couldn't Yeah, and they and one of them was the too many men penalty, which
too many men was bad.
It's hardly ever excusable. Like, that's just kind of a mental mistake on, you know, many people's parts. You can blame the coaches or the players, whatever it might be, but it is a bit of an inexcusable penalty, especially at this point in the game, really early. You've got the close change and everything. So regardless, those two penalties did really kill a lot of the momentum that the Lightning had. They came out buzzing, and they were playing Colorado really good. But like you guys both said, it was 5-10 minutes of the game that you just weren't up to their par with, and that really ended up biting you. So, again, like, it's not the worst or most demoralizing loss of the season. At least it came against a Western Conference team. It sucks that against the Avalanche. I think we've all got a little bit of a vendetta against them, but yeah, it was just a little bit. But 5-10 bad minutes of hockey ended up costing you the game. But overall, and in this loser mentality, I thought you were the better team throughout most of the game.
Well, I mean, one really bright spot was we finally saw a dynamic and powerful goal from Braden Point, where he split the D. I guess technically didn't split, but he still got past him as basically
he turnstiled him.
Yeah, it was like a solo effort from him, and we haven't really seen that explosiveness out of him too much this season. So good to see that he still got it in him. Definitely want to see more of it, but that was one heck of a goal.
He had another one, just another chance, exactly the same against, I think it was Devon Taves as well, that I just don't think he elevated the puck quite enough, but it was almost a mirror image play. So it was good to see a little bit of some wheels from Point, some go from Point for once this season. Jake, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're good. Listen, this is going to sound a little weird, but that goal hurt me the most in this entire game because as great as it was a fantastic play and great job by Point, exactly what you guys are saying. But all it did was just make me think back to that Stanley Cup final and what it could have been if we had a fully healthy Braden Point, and we maybe would have been able to help us to win three straight Stanley Cup finals. I know I'm reminiscing in the past too much, but it did hurt a little bit. But great goal. Hopefully he can continue this little bit of a hot streak here and continue to pick up his play, because there have been some guys that have been struggling still, even with the Bolts getting better. So
he didn't keep it up.
Well, you know, I was talking into this next couple of weeks. It doesn't have to be within two games. Jeez.
I'm jaded right now. I just traded for him on my fantasy team. So I'm going to have a very close eye on him this season.
I do have to bring this comment up because I don't think we'll ever see one like this again. And we all know Daniel's always in here talking with us. And he always, always disagrees. Me and him butt heads a lot. You disagree with me, guys. He disagreed with Joe not breaking out the jacket in the 60s. So although I'm with Joe on this, so you know, we again in the same page there.
If you're a transplant, just say so.
All right, I think he's showing his true colors here. We have fun. But Bolts, tough loss on the road against the Colorado Avalanche. You know, those things are going to happen. They had another late game over against the Vegas Golden Knights, chance to bounce back, and they did it. They come away with a 6-3 win. Guys, I don't know about you, but these games against Vegas, they are always just out of control every time the Lightning play the Golden Knights. You're always having some kind of high-scoring craziness. You really never know when these two teams get together. I think for the game of the NHL, having a Lightning-Vegas final would be unbelievable. It would be terrible for my mental health, because it would be an unbelievable series and I could not handle it. But Bolts get the win 6-3 after going down 2-0. So alarm bells were going off, I bet. I know they were for me at the start of this game, but they really settled down. They did the opposite of what they did in the Avalanche game, had a great second period, storm right back. Dominic James, he scores his first NHL goal. Congratulations to the kid. A lot of the young guys getting involved too. Gage Gonsalves got his first goal of this season as well. Lightning eventually come away with a big win, a couple of power play goal and empty net goals late, and the Lightning bounce back against Vegas.
I just want to say they changed his name for this game to Dominant James. I mean, that kid was performing so well, and seeing him put up points like that is really exciting, since he's basically like our top prospect, right? So, you know, that guy had one heck of a game. Those have been really exciting ones against Vegas. They're always nail biters.
And I'm just saying, what was the last time that happened? You know, we got a slightly undersized left-handed forward from Chicago. turned into Brandon Hagel. So I'm not saying Dominic James is going to be Brandon Hagel, but man, what a coming out party, coming out game for him. It was great because we've all been expecting it from him. We've all been waiting for this to happen. You've seen it there, but we'll get to him a little bit later. But I just think this game was probably the most fun game to watch, even despite it being, you know, the 10 o'clock start. I think maybe us all being a little tired and loopy just made it that much better for me. Again, definitely not the most perfect game they've played. And I said this about another game we covered last week. I can't quite remember, but one of the more fun games we got to watch because it was back and forth. It was just entertaining all around us. Despite that shaky first period, they started to get the wheels back on late in that period. And then a very, very rare, great Lightning second period, which you just don't see too often at all. But I think it was this game, like in that first period, I said, Bjorkstrand scored the first goal of the year and then just did nothing else the rest of the season. And of course he had to shut me up and have a great game on his own in this game as well. So it was just a good, a great effort top to bottom. The fourth line and the first line, everybody was really going this game. So it was just very good to see. I do think we took advantage of a little bit of shaky goaltending, like I can't remember his name, Lindbaum. I think that's the goalie we played. He played us in Tampa a couple weeks ago when Vegas came to town, and he was great, but he was just kind of swimming all over the place this game too. Lightning, of course, you know, they were getting the rebounds, they were getting shots on net. Like, it was, they were playing very well, but also took advantage of a little bit of some shaky goaltending. But you got to take what you're given. You really do in this league.
He definitely looked if you reminded me a little bit of Tim Thomas, a guy that's kind of all over the place in his crease, making desperation mm-hmm. saves that look like it's a fantastic save, but really, I mean, it's kind of moving a little bit too much. He was definitely all over the place and got turned around a few times there. I honestly, the Lightning probably could have scored a number more goals if you know, they had a couple more shots on.
Matt, it's funny you mentioned Bjorkstrand and shutting you up. I want to talk about the power play, which was solid in this game. Finally got some goals for once, 2 for 4, 50%. I think I sent it in our personal chat. I insulted the Lightning power play and how bad it was. And I kid you not, seconds, maybe 3 seconds later, they went and scored. It was late on the power play, but still, they went and put it in the back of the net as soon as I said something about them. So maybe I should do that more often. But really good to see that power play getting back on track maybe a little bit here, because it's definitely been one of the biggest issues, I would say, throughout this season. One thing that it has not gotten fixed with the Lightning getting better.
It looked a little bit different, though, didn't it?
It did. It definitely did. And listen, they scored 2 goals on it. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that. They got the puck in the back of the net. Power play goals, power play goal.
And the biggest thing to me is Kucherov listens to this podcast. I asked him to shoot, and he shoots. And what do you know? It goes in. Again, he's got an excellent one-timer. He uses it, and what do you know?
But, I mean, they also had for a while, Hedman wasn't, you know, doing the wasn't headmanning. He wasn't at the you know, quarterbacking the power play there. It was actually Radish that they had in that spot, which was a different look, and it ended up working out too. I like the fact that, like you said, Matt, that Kuch is shooting, but they also were moving around a whole heck of a lot more. And you know, maybe it's just putting in, you know, sliding in some different personnel that helped do that, so it's a different feel. But, you know, shaking it up obviously worked pretty well for this game.
And you got to give a little bit of flowers, too, to Charles-Edouard Dastu as well. He's kind of come in and filled a good offensive defenseman role that I don't know if we've been lacking, but he's come in and been pretty not flawless by any means. I think his defense is a little shaky, but he's filled in a good role, getting some power play two time as well, with Victor not really getting any power play time. This little change up here, too. So I just want to give him his flowers as well. He's already got 3 or 4 points. Sorry, Morgan's going crazy in the background, if you guys can hear.
She's excited for the Lightning power play.
I can't blame her.
I will say Victor Hedman did get the assist on that one power play goal. Just saying. It was a great shot by Kucherov, by the way. It was that one was really, really good. It was just back left corner top of the net. It was unbelievable shot from Nikita Kucherov. So great to see Lightning get back on the power play. They start winning once again, get back right in the win column, and it's, you know, Lightning continue to fight. By the way, if you've been watching the standings the entire time with the Lightning going back and forth here, they constantly keep jumping up into like second or third place in the division, and then will fall back out of the playoffs. I think they're sitting in a wild card spot as we speak, but they keep jumping all over the place because that's how tight the Eastern Conference is right now. And the Lightning are also still well behind in games played because they are every year. Why? Couldn't tell you. But they just are. So Lightning get the big win against the Vegas Golden Knights, and then they finally get to come back home to Benchmark International Arena, back at a normal 7 o'clock start, and take on the Washington Capitals right after Alex Ovechkin had scored his 900th goal. And what does he do against the Lightning? Nothing. He didn't do anything. Lightning come away with the win against the Capitals by a final score of 3-2. You know, guys, honestly, another really solid, close game. Back and forth a little bit. Lightning come through at the end, and they get the big win.
Oddly enough, the worst part of the game was trying to close it out. That power play at the very end that the Lightning got, and then the Capitals pulling their goalie to keep it 5-on-5. I got to give the Caps some credit, man. They made a strong push 5-on-5 with an empty net. Jake, I'm sorry. I always got to play devil's advocate.
You're right. No, you're right. They did push. They pushed.
That was the roughest. I don't know if it was the roughest that the Lightning looked or it was just the best that the Caps looked, but that was probably the closest part of the game. Of course, they got on the board early with that little trick play against Vasilevsky. He had no idea where that puck was, but from then on, Vasilevsky, he had a whale of a game. He made some outstanding saves. Just another good, solid defensively game as well, which is something we were begging for earlier this season. They really did limit the Capitals' chances throughout pretty much three entire periods.
Yeah, and you know that really was a good push that last few minutes that pull the net, have 5-on-5. That was very impressive what they're able to do with that. But also good on the Bolts, kind of limiting the quality of those chances. They're absolutely flying and hammering the puck all over the place. But I'd have to check to see exactly how many shots got on net during that time. But I don't think it was too many during that scramble. But one guy that it's time to bring up and talk about.
Getting ready to say it.
Uh-huh. I mean, come on. He's gotten enough grief. Now it's time for a little bit of praise. Emil Liljeberg with his first goal of the season, and he probably choked a little bit on the shot. It looks like it bounced a little bit on him. I think I'm pretty confident he was shooting top right corner and went top left. I'd also be lying if I said that wasn't my absolute specialty to flub a shot and that's how it goes in rather than putting it in clean top shelf. But he was in a great spot, jumped up in the play in order to get himself open. We've seen him jump in the play a lot, through the course of his career, but especially this season, it seems. And he's hit pay dirt a number of times this season now with it. He also, keeps just doing better and better when it comes to his plus minus. He had a bad penalty in this game, yes, but, no one's perfect. We can show lots of bad penalties, but he's been cleaning it up for the most part. Pulling up his stats right now, and a six snipe, end over end wobbler to the opposite corner that he was shooting. But he hasn't had a negative game, since I guess the last time they played the Golden Knights, he's had one, and that was against Dallas. So he's been doing his part being a defensive defenseman, and now, putting a couple of points on the board. And his penalty minutes has been really low. The last thing to point out about him is he actually had the most ice time of any defenseman in that game against Washington as well. So some trust there with Cooper. And it's really great to see it start to work out. And hopefully he continues on this trend and becomes someone that's really serviceable.
It seems like the theme of the week is these players that we're criticizing proving us wrong. So, I mean, even, I've been a little hard on Point as well, but he got a goal. Bjorkstrand shut me up a little bit, and now Liljeberg as well. So it's good to see it. I'm glad we've got the stats to back it up as well. Glad he finally gets his first of the year, 14 games into the season as well, 15 games, whatever it is. Good for him. To be, only one minus game, not just him, but the whole team, maybe, the exception of Victor Hedman, that one game last week, has really stepped up their defensive play as well, too. So even McDonough and Chernak as well. So good for him. I'm glad he finally gets on the board. And, say what you want about it. A goal is a goal, Joe. I don't care how it comes. They don't ask how. They ask how many. And right now the tally's at one.
Hey, you got a goal. He's been playing a little bit better defensively. What more can you ask for from Willibird right now?
The Mars.
I do want to talk about the power play goal for the Lightning in this game. They, again, go 1-for-2 on the power plays, 50% again. So maybe it's starting to look a little better, mostly because this goal was just kind of funny. Victor Hedman from the point, absolute rocket. And poor Jake Gensel took this one off the lower body, and it went into the net. That's one of the toughest ways to score a goal, to take a shot from your own teammate like that powerfully. But hey, puck went in, and it got the job done. So good to see
Hedman. And it was a power play goal as well.
Yeah, power play goal. Hedman with the rocket. Love to see it. Some good stuff from the Bolts again there on the man advantage. Do have one bad piece of news to talk about from this game, as good as it was for the Bolts to get the win. Also, quickly here, Ethan said Caps look rough. I 100% agree, Ethan. They look terrible.
Of course you do.
By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, there's a video of the Capitals right before one of their games in the tunnel, and they're doing some I don't know what's going on with that team. They're doing some – Matt, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do, and I think you're being a hater.
Come on, Matt. For those that don't know, there's a video of them. They're screwing around, having fun. But the one Caps player is like acting like he's holding a leash. It's the stick, and the other Caps player is acting like a dog, walking around barking, like it's getting down low. It's really weird. Go find it.
Do you guys remember? I'm gonna blank like a chump. Who begins with a G? Captain of the. Anaheim for a long time.
Getzlaff.
Getzlaff. Okay, yeah. Gensel was stuck in my head and I couldn't get it out. Do you remember the video of him in the tunnel right before the game? And then who's the kid over there that did the Michigan a couple times?
Zegras.
Yeah, Zegras. Zegras.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking.
Like him and one of the other players were basically. Do you know about this, Jake?
Yeah, it was like him and Drysdale. They were just being young kids in the league and.
They were doing cup checks. Yeah, they were doing cup checks on each other in the tunnel right before the game, and Getzlaff looks over and just like you see him like kind of shake his head and look away. And then there's a post that went around for a little while. It's like, this is the moment that Getzlaff knew it was time to retire.
that's hilarious. Yeah, well, hockey players are always we've always known to be a little bit of a weird brand. So you know, like Vasilevskiy, there's that video of him or gif of him where he's running around like jumping everybody's – yeah, exactly, Matt, just like that. Daniel says Ovechkin's always had some weird warm-ups in the tunnel. He has. This was not Ovechkin. He was not involved in this one, but just thought I'd jokingly bring that up. But,
and this isn't warm-up either, but the Louis Domingue post-game celebrations in the tunnel remain undefeated.
Was the greatest thing. I miss him just mm-hmm. for that. When he brought out the mini scooter, that was fantastic. Man, Domingue was such a great locker room guy. It was always so much fun to see what he was. You know, I missed that, by the way. The Lightning have not been doing that recently, like posting a locker room win video, like a win song that they had for those couple of years. They haven't been doing that anymore. I miss it. Let's bring it back, please. You know, that was part of the fun. I hope they do at some point. Let's talk about that quote-unquote bad news here, though, for the Lightning, because we did lose. We've lost a couple of players. They've been banged up with some injuries. As we know, Nick Paul, too, has still been out with an injury. Hopefully should return soon.
He's wearing a blue jersey now.
He's getting close. I thought they talked about right after this road trip he could be back soon, not in the Washington game, obviously, so hopefully soon. But Ryan McDonagh did leave this game with an injury, did not return. There really wasn't an update on him after the game. He's considered day-to-day right now, so hopefully it's nothing major, but we really don't have any update on Ryan McDonagh. But that is a major concern because I don't think there's any question right now that Ryan McDonagh has been one of the best defensemen for the Lightning and how good he has been since returning from Nashville. He has been a rock back on that D-line.
Hey, the way that J.J. Moser has been playing, I can't remember which game it was, but he was just a brick wall, a shot-blocking machine, and the way he's been playing all season as well. If he keeps up this, you know, Norris level of defense, like – I'm not saying, you know, we'll be okay or anything, or, you know, it's okay that McDonagh's injured, but it seems like the entire team has really committed to defense recently. Like, when was the last time we've had more than three put on us? I can't quite remember. It's been I don't know, a couple weeks now, as opposed to, you know, the start of the season. So McDonough, he's older. He's 37. You know, take your time. You've been running 11-7 the last couple of games as well. We know all these guys, even Darren Radish, even Lilleberg, they're NHL caliber guys, even Dastu. So if he needs to take a couple of days, take it.
Also, Dominic James, too, taking the puck to the right side of his face where he deflected a shot and went up and hit him in the cheek. I don't know how bad that one is, but I guess he didn't.
He only missed a couple shifts.
He came back.
But, I guess he didn't, though. He skate on Sunday. Didn't skate yesterday for their practice. So maybe they're just giving him a little bit of extra time for that. But, yeah, they're a little bit of a getting some banged up. It seems that the McDonough one might be from blocking a shot, which hopefully that's just like a bone bruise or a nice bruise as opposed to an actual fracture.
Yeah, you don't hope it's anything serious because I do think McDonough has been so good for the Bolts, and hopefully it wasn't anything major. Ethan says at least it wasn't a non-contact injury. That's very true. Non-contact injuries are always usually one of the worst because they're something serious, but we'll hopefully get an update on McDonough soon. We'll let you guys know as soon as we do. Joe, it sounds like you were...
I don't know if this is just misreported or what, but it's saying that there's an upper body injury for Cirelli, which I thought for sure that was his groin, based on the way that he was going down. It could just be wrong.
He's had shoulder issues in the past. I don't know if just the way... Because his body kind of contorted pretty weirdly on just a pretty harmless-looking play, so God only knows what it is.
Unfortunately, we know how this goes in the NHL. They don't release much information on these injuries. You really never find out, even especially in the playoffs, until they're over. So hopefully it's nothing serious and they can all be back relatively soon. The good news is the young guns are starting to play some great hockey. Jack Finley got in this game, by the way, as well, because of the injuries that they're dealing with. I didn't do anything crazy, but you know, I love that he was talking smack to everybody on the bench, like he fit right in. So that was fun.
He almost had a breakaway too. The puck was kind of bouncing. You know, it wasn't going to be a clean breakaway for anybody really, but hey, he was hounding the puck. Got to give him that. He was really limited in that game, but at least he didn't do nothing, or even better, he didn't do anything negative either.
Yeah. Give him a shot. Let him. Hopefully he can thrive in this opportunity, depending on how long some of our guys are out when it comes to Cirelli and Paul, especially on the forward core anyway. But Lightning overall, really nice, solid week for the boys. They lost in Colorado, but only by one goal, and then they get the two wins in Vegas and Washington. And again, they've won seven of their last eight games. It's one of the best last eight in the NHL, I believe. Boston's on a hot win streak right now, and there's somebody else that's doing relatively well. But the Lightning, seven of eight, that's really, really good stuff, especially considering how bad this start was for the Bolts and where where I was at mentally at the very least. But they come through big. So.
And nice. Spencer Carberry, the coach of the Capitals, he's a guy, Jake, you might hate this, he's a guy that I really like, I really respect. He was saying that the two teams...
All right, that's enough of that. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. He was saying the two teams in the league you got to watch out for is the Colorado Avalanche, of course. You know, got to give them their flowers. They just put up 9 on Edmonton. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, he said, you know, off to a rough start, but, man, they're really starting to string some wins together. You always have to respect the Lightning, and that's a guy whose word that I respect. We're on the up and up, baby. I'm feeling good.
That's very nice. Very nice. Anytime a coach can say that about you. I'm a little surprised that he would say that though. Like, listen, the Lightning have been good, but they're off to a really bad start and they're not the team that they
think
were.
He kicks puppies or something because he's the Capitals coach.
I didn't say it, you said it. I do want to see here's a good question that I want to hang on. I got to read the. I love everybody joining in the conversation. Thank you guys, as always, to tune in live. Don't forget, if you're watching this later and you're not with us live, make sure you ring that bell for notifications. Follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. Sometimes you'll see the ticker down there. Be sure to check that out so you do get notifications and know when we go live, typically on Mondays around 6 o'clock. Sometimes that changes a little bit, but make sure you get that notification.
6 or 7.
You can join the comp. Stop it, Matt. Just stop it. No.
Now you can kick him out.
Yeah, see you guys.
True. Bye, Matt. All right. I want to get to Steve Daniels' comment real quick. Anyone concerned that they've won 7 of 8 and they're still on the fringe of the playoffs? Don't think that they'll keep it this pace. I mean, that's fair that they won't keep it this pace because it's really hard to do, just period. But no, not in the stand. I'm not concerned about the standings because, again, the Lightning are behind in games played, which is a big thing. And everybody in the East Division right now is still over – well, no, Buffalo is now under 500, but I believe every other team is still over 500. So that's going to change at some point, I think, hope. So I'm, yeah. I'm not –
I think the odds of 15 other teams in the East or 14 other teams, excluding Buffalo and Tampa, keeping their pace is a lot more unlikely than the Lightning keeping their pace. And of course, you're not going to win, 7 of 8 games for the rest of the season. But, Detroit, they're starting to fall off their hot start. Montreal, they're still white hot. But Toronto, they're not looking too great right now. Florida, just keep them as far down as possible. I like where we're at. I think things are starting to regress to the mean.
And also to, John Cooper's so big on this, talking about it's all about the process. They're executing pretty well right now. So as long as they're doing that, everything else will fall into place.
The Lightning, 15 games played. Most teams are at either 16 or 17. There's one or two. There's a couple that are still at 15 too. So yeah, Matt, I'm gonna kick you out again if you keep doing it. question here from CR: where can I get a beanie like Joe is wearing? Well, I don't know about the one about specifically Joe's, but I do know that you can go over to shop.rblrsports.com and get some awesome RBLR team inspired merch, and you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Gear up for they got the holidays coming right around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdy, Sun, you name it, all that team inspired merch, we got it. Joe, where did you get your beanie? Do you know?
I mean probably it's the old logo, so I probably had this thing for more than a minute.
Good answer. No free ads.
Yeah, sponsor us.
That's a nice tee up though.
Yeah, worked out well, right? Thank you, CR. I'll send you your Venmo for doing that for me. Anyway, let's get to the Ethan's comment here. All I want for Christmas is RBLR merch. There you go. Get set up. You can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Let's go to our 3 stars of the week, guys. Another week where a lot of guys played pretty well and, maybe made a case to be on the stars list, but starting with our number 3 star, it is a guy that has not been on the team very long at all, but boy, is he really making an impact. And finally, this week, started to come through with some points and scored his first NHL goal. And of course, that is Dominic James, who gets the 3rd star of the week.
Dominant James, am I right? You already made that joke, Joe. Sorry. Yeah, I was kind of gushing about him a little bit. I didn't want to carry on too hard earlier, but I sent it in our group chat. But now he officially has more points than that bust Isaac Howard. I never heard of her. It was about time that he finally got a point, and then he turned one assist into a goal and another assist as well. So a 3-point game for your first time ever, notching the score sheet. Yeah, you got no complaints about that. But we knew this was coming for a long time. He's a guy that looks like he belongs. Arguably, he might have stolen Geeky's job, but it's the NHL. You got to be competing. And he's a guy that brings it every single night, even if it doesn't translate to goals or assists or anything. He's a guy that just brings it every night. And Joe, he finally won a defensive zone faceoff. So I've got that under my belt as well.
Yeah, he's got an assist again against Washington. He's not an overly, physical guy. He's just a guy that's going out there and making plays. And I love his game and seeing him develop. It's going to be interesting. You kind of mentioned Geeky. I'd have to check in the stats with Geeky. I know he's had a couple of really big games down there, but I don't see, the only way that he's going to play well on this team is if he's on the top six, and I still don't know if he's ready for that. I have to watch him play down there, but it looks like, Dominic James might be one of those guys that can come in and surprise and really make it hard for, like you said, anyone else to come up. And, it's going to be interesting when Nick Paul ends up coming back, we got some talent.
Oh, at the center position, absolutely. And Dominic James, he's given me a little bit of a – might be a little bit of a reach, but Tyler Johnson vibe. Just a, you know, a smaller guy that plays, you know, 6 foot six tall. Like, you know, Johnson, he was never, like, laying the body kind of like James is. But, you know, he leveled Marner a couple weeks ago. He plays bigger than he is and taking that puck off the face as well. What a warrior he is. He is only missing a couple of shifts as well. But I just get those Tyler Johnson vibes. Come out of nowhere and – not light up the league, but become a consistent scorer, consistent playmaker. I think, oh, that would be amazing if that happened.
He's been great. And even when he wasn't scoring, he was just playing good hockey. You could see he was really hustling out there and making scoring chances. So fantastic stuff from Dominic James. He gets a third star of the week. Let's go to number two star of the week. It's a guy, well, you kind of expect to be on the list every single time. He has continued to stay hot. He's been frustrated lately because he keeps getting offside goals taken away from him. This is now two times that he's done it this season, both against Vegas, by the way, which is absolutely unbelievable. but the player I'm talking about is none other than Nikita Kucherov, who gets the number two star of the week. Kucherov, really, really solid stuff. Three goals, one assist for 4 points, and was a plus three. So very nice from Nikita Kucherov.
That's really big, the plus three, because at some point I think we're talking dash eight on the season. You know, it's starting to get into Steven Stamkos territory over there, and that's not a place you necessarily want to be. He's been, you know, up on his plus minus consistently now since October 23rd, since October 14th. It looks like against Washington. So it's just a string of bad games, and he just keeps improving his two-way play as well as getting that that touch for goal scoring. You know, you'd have another one if you didn't have another goal if you didn't have a coach make a challenge with like 10 seconds left in the game for an empty netter. You know, with that one aside, the reason that he gets those opportunities is because he knows where to be with the puck, and man, is he fun to watch.
It was a good challenge. Again, you saw what Washington did after that. It was close.
I agree with the call.
This isn't about Washington. I'm sorry, Jake. This is the last time we'll bring him up. But, yeah, I mean, just he's turning into – not turning into, but he's, you know, becoming the guy we all expect him to be. Slow start for everyone on the team and, you know, a little bit of a rough plus minus, but it's hardly an individual stat. It's so much of a team stat. And we've kind of, you know, hammered that nail a couple weeks ago with – you know, talking about Lilleberg, you know, if you come over the boards or something and, you know, there happens to be a goal when you just get on the ice, it's not your fault, really. I'm not saying Kucherov is, you know, a benefactor or detractor of that or anything, but I'm glad to see that his two-way game, like you said, it's really starting to round out. He's not, you know, Alex Barkov or anything like that, but everything is just starting to fall into place, and the offense lives and dies through Nikita and him starting to catch fire. The power play starting to catch fire, and that's what this team really does live and die through, is the power play. They were the best last season. It's, you know, you've got a couple power play goals this season, and it all runs through him. So if he's clicking, the whole team is clicking.
Best Russian in the NHL. Anyway.
Ever.
all right, time for the number one star. And, well, guys, there may be some controversy, because I'll tell you who all of our viewers want for the first star. And that's Emil Lilleberg. Everybody is calling for Lilleberg. Hey, listen, he has been fantastic. He's been much improved. Everybody loves to see that. I love this one specifically. Lilleberg's my hero when he's not in the penalty box, because he does take some bad penalties. But guys, I hate to break it to you, we did not pick Emil Lilleberg for the number one star.
Was overruled.
What are you talking about, Joe? You agreed with me when I said the three. We went with none other than the future captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning in Brandon Hagel, who had a fantastic week. You cannot discount it. Three goals, two assists for 5 points, and was a plus three. Hagel is hot right now. He scored seven goals in his last seven. He is on an unbelievable streak right now, 7-7, and hopefully that will continue, because, boy, is Brandon Hagel just one of those players that's fun to watch when he is playing some great hockey.
This is turning into Brandon Hagel's stars of the week. It's no longer Kucherov's stars. I mean, he was on it pretty much every week last year, him and Gensel as well. But no, I mean, again, like we were saying last week, just rounding out, turning into, you know, returning to the guy we all know he is. The best contract in the league, bar none. I mean, $6 million for seven more years. six for seven more years. The last time, I promise.
Matt, I'm going to have to lead you out of this pit.
No, again, he's just been a puck hound, the buzzsaw, the honey badger. We all know him to be. He's really starting to catch fire. He's the best player on this team right now. And boy, he's the guy that I really should have traded with. Man, I've got so many shticks that I'm going with. But man, I mean, just good to see him, you know, get out of that seven game slump. I think he's got 12 points in his last eight games, something like that. So just good for him.
Oh yeah, and it was that Dallas game was the TNT broadcast that was almost 2 weeks ago or thereabouts, right? Where he got his power play goal, and then they kind of roasted him on the panel about getting his first power play goal in however long. Well, now he's got power play points in two consecutive games for these last two, so getting more productive on the power play, getting more time as that second unit has seen some ice. He also has game-winning goals for the last two games. So he's not only just putting up numbers, but they're important goals that he's scoring. And again, with his plus-minus, that's just keeps going up. Is he leading the team? No, I mean, he's a plus-five. I guess he started off rough because he's got just a whole series of pluses, looking at every single game that's been played here, and he's really doing well on both sides and being such a hound.
Joe, you may have started a unbelievable riot in the fan club because the fans are very upset that Little Bird was
Little Bird.
Hey, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Let us know if everybody else who's not with us live, did we get it wrong? Little Bird, future captain. I even said it. Hey, it won't be the captain. Cooper likes Little Bird better. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's a revolution in the comments.
Little Bird gets the fan star of the week. But for us, we love go we might have to start doing that. Fan star of the week. Why is that? That's not a right name, but that's not for me to figure out. Dominic James, number three, Nikita Kucherov, number two, and Brandon Hagel, number one. Those are our three stars of the week. Let us know in the comments down below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? I would love to hear what you guys have to say, as always. Before we get into the schedule for the Bolts coming up here, guys, I do want to mention one thing, and this is something that I do not think – I said this every year, but I don't think it gets covered anywhere near it should. And we all know how great of a coach John Cooper is, even though some fans wanted to fire him for some reason at the start of the season. But not only is he a great coach, but he does so much in the community. And he had his Coops Catch for Kids event again yesterday on Monday, I believe it was. And I have the press release pulled up here too. But it's just a really cool event. All the players go out on the water. Some people get to go and they take the kids out and get to fish and hang out with these players and coaches. It's such an awesome thing. And I don't think it gets covered at all. And it drives me crazy every single time. I'm actually going to try to do something about that. I have a Bolt Report did an article once, but I really like to get involved with the Lightning to cover this event more because it just doesn't get the press that it deserves. And I think it's such a cool event. I wanted to mention that.
It's a really cool event, especially considering, the people that they have there. Charles Barkley was there. He competed. He even won an award. He got an award for catching the smallest fish of the day. But he got him like a. I'd say it's worth looking up the video, if nothing else, than to just show that the people want to see those videos. But they gave him a really small trophy, and he's obviously a giant of a man. So the perspective is even funnier. But yeah, he's been doing this charity event for a long time now, and it is a great one.
Yeah, you're right, Jake, about the coverage. I had no idea this was happening today. This is always something that I've like, how do I weasel my way onto one of these boats? But man, this year is different. I feel bad for everyone. Not feel bad for everyone that went out today, but man, it was howling today. It was cold today. Cold. Like, I went out for a little bit on my boat today, and that was a dumb idea. So hopefully everyone caught some fish, Barkley got the award for the smallest fish. It's still a fish, got your rod bent, but man, it's just such a cool thing. It's such a great thing. It's like my entire being. It's, boating, fishing, and John Cooper. Like, that is the three coolest things on this planet Earth. So it's such a cool thing, such a great thing for a great cause. Jake, you're completely right. I wish this got like national news coverage.
I'm going to try to do something about it at some point. We're going to try to get more coverage on it because it should be covered. I don't know if you guys remember, by the way, Matt, you mentioned wanting to go on the boat. My dad got to go on this event, and he fished with Anthony Cirelli. And right after that, Anthony Cirelli got really hot and started scoring goals. So it was a fun time.
And your dad didn't go, and now he's injured. So
I know, right? I blame my dad for Anthony Cirelli.
Do you know how it feels watching another man live out your dreams? It's not good.
I do quickly. Here's the press release, by the way. It's the 8th annual Coops Catch for Kids events. And it's an exciting day of fishing and fundraising where Cooper and the entire Lightning roster join participants for a day of fun and fishing on the water while all raising funds for pediatric cancer research and patient services. All proceeds go to the J5 Foundation, the Cooper Family Charitable Organization that was founded in 2022. So that's the press release the Lightning sent out for this event. But again, just wanted to shout that out. It's an awesome event that they always do. Check out the Lightning Twitter page and Instagram page. They posted a couple of things on it, so you can see some of the coverage there. All right, let's look ahead here for the Bolts coming
up. Guys, it is finally coming up. I almost didn't know what this event was because I had it circled so many times that I couldn't read who we were playing up against. Saturday, we're finally going to get the Panthers.
Wait, is this the first regular season game against the Panthers coming up
here? Yes. Wow. Don't even bring your sticks onto the ice. Don't even put a puck out there. I mean, whatever the outcome of this game is, I really don't care. Just you know, take heads. I really don't care.
No.
Sorry, Jake. You disagree.
Listen, the Lightning have been playing great. Beat them in the win column. Push them further down the standings. Best thing you can do. It will be. Our Eureka really wants to come on and say something here. No, it's okay. Our Eureka's shy. Before we get to that game, the Lightning will play the New York Rangers at Benchmark International Arena on Wednesday, the 12th. That game at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's a TNT game, by the way, so make sure you don't schedule any ceremonies because TNT won't cover it. And then the Lightning will have 2 days off. They will head down to Sunrise to take on the Panthers. That game at 5 p.m. Eastern, by the way. A little bit of a weird time there. And then the Lightning will take on the Vancouver Canucks, again, back at Benchmark International Arena at 5 p.m. Eastern. The Lightning have a stretch coming up here of a decent amount of home games. They have, let me be accurate here, if you include the Washington one, was it 7 home games with only 2 road games that break it up a little bit. So lots of home games coming up for the Bolts, an advantage to our chance to maybe take advantage of that.
This Rangers game, you got to watch out for. The Rangers are god awful at home, but they're the best team in the league on the road. So you got to watch out for that. You know, I'm not a huge fan of noticing patterns, but this is a pattern that you cannot quite ignore. So
have they won at home?
Not
yet.
No, they haven't even won. 0-8-1.
Yeah, they play Nashville tonight, and I'm betting the farm on Nashville. But if they're coming into Benchmark, I still got to think about what it is. That's a game you shouldn't take lightly.
I believe they've been shut out like 4 or 5 times as well in that. Mm-hmm. They're not scoring either at all at home. Here's the record: 0-6-1 at home, 7-1-1 on the road.
And I think at home too, there's only been one game where they've scored more than one goal as well in that record at home. Like MSG is just a morgue right now.
That's tough. Well, hopefully the Lightning can flip that script and hand second loss in regulation to the Rangers when they take them on. Joe, you mentioned it, circled the calendar, playing the Panthers on Saturday. That will be one to watch. Maybe everybody's cool. Well, no, they definitely haven't cooled off. Who am I kidding? Guys remember stuff from last year. So that game will be interesting to watch. Although now it's the regular season, it's not preseason, so maybe you got to play a little bit differently. But lots to look forward to here for the Bolts.
Overall, I would say that George Perros, head of player safety, would be in attendance for that game, but he's probably in attendance for all Panthers games anyway. Just, you know, that's his team. So
there you go. Fair enough. Well, guys, I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much to everybody tuning in once again. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning. Ring the bell for notifications. If you did enjoy this video, hit that share button. It really helps us out if you did enjoy the video. But with that said, we'll talk to you guys in the next one. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.